brethren. I'd like to spend this next half hour in praise to the Lord. And we're going to mainly lift our voices in singing and praise unto Him. And we're going to make use of this the new publication here that has been recently made available to the brethren, the Hymns with a Message. And we're going to use some of the messages and the readings that go along with the hymns during the meeting tonight. They're very beautiful, and we're going to call on various ones to read these. And we'll also take choices from the brethren as to the hymns that they would like to sing. First, we'd like to make one announcement that those who are involved with the Grand Rapids seminar coming up in August, if they have questions that they were to turn into Lenny Grice, would you turn them into Ken Osterman? He'll be collecting those questions to be put together in the seminar books. Well, let's open with hymn number 236. Number 236. Tell His Word. Yes. Call on Brother Mark Tabak to open with prayer, please.
Our Father in heaven, we bow before you now at the beginning of this meeting that we might seek to praise you with our lips and with our heart and voice. We thank you for this privilege we have of gathering together with those of like precious faith to meet in convention and to seek to be and edify and to build up one another. We pray for your Spirit, Father, that you would be with us, that we might endeavor to always pleasing to you and to glorify your name in all things. We thank you for your many blessings to us, and we wait before you and pray for your blessing on the further activities of the evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Many things we do have to be thankful to the Lord. And certainly, God and our Lord Jesus Christ are worthy of every praise. These various hymns that we've selected have to do with praise. And we would like to call on Ken Osterman to read the message that goes with hymn number 34 in this book, Praise Our King. This is hymn number 235 in the regular Hymns of Dawn hymn book. So we'd ask Ken to read that if he would.
Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. How great an honor and privilege it is that the followers of Jesus are permitted to bring their humble songs and praises to the great Creator, their Heavenly Father, the King of Heaven. All who realize by experience the wonderful truths presented in this hymn must have a desire to bring some tribute to the great Eternal One. Such thank Him that they have been ransomed from the power of sin and death by His arrangement through the death of Jesus. Thank Him also that they have been healed, in that they have been restored to divine favor through the One who loved us and bought us with His precious blood. Well may the angels sing hallelujah in the highest to the great Jehovah God, but the Church of Christ preeminently owes a tribute to the Heavenly Father. She has been taken from the horrible pit, the miry clay of sin and death. Her feet have been placed upon the rock Christ Jesus, and in her mouth the Lord has put a new song, even the loving kindness of our God. We praise Him for this, for His diversified favors and blessings, not merely for those which are reaching us today, but for those which have reached us through our forefathers. We realize our blemished condition, our unworthiness of divine guidance, except as we have been made worthy through the sacrifice of Jesus. Our hearts have pleasure in acknowledging all these favors, and we appreciate that the Lord is very gracious towards those that become His children. He is slow to chide them, swift to forgive, and to bless them, and glorious in His faithfulness. The last stanza of this beautiful hymn especially comforts us. Our Heavenly Father is proving us, testing us, seeing whether or not, under His arrangement, we are developing the proper characters which will permit of our being used in conjunction with the Heavenly Kingdom for the blessing of all the families of the earth. He judges us not according to our flesh, which is feeble, but graciously He estimates us according to the soul, the mind, which is a new creature. Finding us loyal at heart, He cares for us through His providences and rescues us from our foes, especially the great adversary Satan. Thus, by the grace of God, whom we love and praise and adore, we are going on from grace to grace, from knowledge to knowledge, and from one degree of character development to another, until, through His grace, we trust that we shall be the more than conquerors and shall be associated with our Redeemer in the millennial kingdom.
Thank you, Ken. Well, now let's join together in singing hymn number 235.
Thank you.
Who would have another selection that they would like to sing, especially if it is one that is along this line of praising God and our Lord Jesus Christ? Although all of them do, if it had that theme. Brother Lester?
I have wife. I'm here to our favorite song, How Great Thou Art.
Okay, that's certainly praising the Lord. Let's sing that one. And that is 1A, pasted probably in the front of most of these hymn books. How Great Thou Art. that we have in our hymn books that praises the name, the precious name of Jesus, our Savior, is hymn number 278, Precious Name. And we'll ask Don Marzuski if he would come down and read the description and comment out of the hymns with a message on hymn number 278.
Precious name, oh how sweet. In olden times, the name stood for character or work. Thus, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word Jesus meaning Savior. But the name Jesus has come to have a much larger meaning to the Christians. It not only stands for the mercy of God and the forgiveness of his sin, but also for the blessing, privileges, and opportunities which come solely through the merit of Jesus. As this hymn expresses it, the name Jesus is precious, both as respects the hope of earth and the joys of heaven. It is through this name that we have relationship to the standing with our Father, as the Master himself declares, "Without me ye can do nothing, and whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Truly Jesus' name, in its influence upon our minds, is a shield from every snare. The child of God, realizing his relationship to Jesus, has in that very sentiment a powerful protection as respects evil conduct, evil language, and evil thoughts. When temptations beset, the breathing of that holy name in prayer is sure to bring a helpful influence, drawing us nearer God and chasing away the tempter. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We are to resist with all our strength, developing more and more in courage and character. We must also call upon the Lord. Christians' hymns and songs should have, and do have, a powerful influence upon the hearts and lives of Christians for good. Of course, there may be singing without the spirit and without the understanding, mere lip service. God's people should discourage this in every reasonable way. Our hymns are prayers set to music, with the same sentiments should prevail in our hearts in singing to the Lord as when we go upon our knees. The last verse tells of the praise that shall ascend to God in the name of Jesus throughout the whole world when his victory shall be complete at the close of the millennium. That victory will be one of righteousness over sin, of life over death. This is not the teaching of this beautiful hymn merely, but especially the teaching of the entire Bible. St. Paul declares that it is God's purpose to eventually gather together all things under one head, Jesus. Already he is the head of the church, and will be her head when she is glorified at his right hand as his queen forever. Next in order will come the cherubims, the seraphims, and the angelic host. And later, perfected mankind restored from sin and death to life everlasting through the merit of Jesus and by the work of the millennial kingdom.
It's the name of Jesus. Just the name itself is a very, very beautiful name. It has a beautiful sound, and as in the comment that the relationship we have with our Lord is one that gives us great strength in time of trial and in time of need. It also will be a precious name in the kingdom. And we read in Paul's letter to the Philippians about the name Jesus, where he says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's join together now in singing hymn 287, Precious Name. 278, excuse me. Additional song that we'd like to look at that is in this Hymns with a Message book. All hail the power of Jesus' name. And we've asked if Bill Gill would come forward and read for us the comment on that song. That is hymn number 10 in the Hymns of Dawn hymn book.
The power of Jesus' name. Evidently, the hymns of the past were nearer to the truth, nearer to the teachings of the Bible than were the creeds. The hymns represented the hearts of God's people. The creeds represented their bewildered hearts. For instance, we sang, "All hail the power of Jesus' name," and how eventually all mankind, as well as all the angels, will bow to that name. But our creeds contradict this, contradict the Bible also. The creeds declare that only the saintly few who now bow to the name of Jesus will escape eternal torture. According to the creeds, more than 9/10 of humanity are now writhing with pain and cursing their great Creator. How sad our mistakes. How seriously this mistake has warped our conceptions of our Creator, of His love and His power. Truly, we made the Word of God of none effect through our human traditions. Now we are awakening. Thank God for the Apostles' prayer for the church at Ephesus is now fulfilling in all God's true people. I pray God for you that the eyes of your understanding opening, ye may be able to comprehend with all saints the heights and the depths and the lengths and breadths, and to know the love of God, which passeth all understanding. The name of Jesus signifies the power, the authority, the character of Jesus. His name was miraculously given by divine authority as signifying Savior, Deliverer. He shall save his people from their sins. Truly, only those who come to a knowledge of the gospel, accept its terms, and consecrate themselves to the Lord, only these as yet are saved, and they admittedly are few. They alone constitute the true church whose names are written in heaven, the bride class, who at the second coming of Jesus are to be united with him in his glory, honor, and immortality. Their union by the resurrection change is figuratively styled marriage in Revelation 19:7. However, the Lord declares, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, that there may be one fold and one shepherd." The other sheep of this promise are the non-elect, those who will come to a knowledge of the truth during the millennium. All such who heartily respond will get a great blessing of everlasting life, a restitution blessing, restoring them to human perfection and restoring them to the earthly paradise lost through sin. Blessed are all those who have hearing ears and obedient hearts in the present life, for they will obtain the heavenly reward. But how glad we are that God has promised that eventually all the blind eyes shall be opened, all the deaf ears shall be unstopped, and that unto Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God, and that all who will then refuse obedience will be destroyed from amongst the people in the second death.
Let's join together now in singing the first and the last verse of hymn number 10, All Hail. And while we're singing this, we'll ask Brother Sowers if he would come forth, and we'll ask also if Brother Joe Qualick, if he would come down to open the meeting with prayer.